His engineer, Eric, we thought that we could possibly do it in two parts, but there's no conceivable way. So this is now part three of our December 1st, 2009 Jimmy Dolan Show. Part three, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Depending on how I cut it up.
That's true. That's true. But,
so it's still December 1st.
Yep.
We have Counselor Curtis here falling asleep. I am too. Yeah, you got your head all bandaged up. Is it really cold in here?
It's all. Are you kidding me?
I didn't turn it.
Penguins walking around. Polar bear be comfortable here.
That's right. No extinction on polar bears here.
Nope. You see that polar bear that finally waved the photographer? He was trying to get his picture, and the polar bear was being like. Whatever, shy, and also the polar bear just comes right up to the window and raises his paw up like, hi, and then the photographer snapped a shot of it.
And then he slashed the photographer in half.
Slashed the photographer in half. No, it was in an aquarium. Oh. It was some, you know, it's a tame polar bear.
Right, as tame as they get, yeah.
Tame as they get.
That's it, okay. Yep, okay, this is good, bueno.
If you missed part one, we had Stitch from the Hangar Dogs on. Woohoo!
Yeah, he was good.
You gotta go back and see, or listen to HANGARDOGS. .com.
Yeah, maybe they'll publish it on their website, you know?
Maybe, you never know.
Okay, before we get to the, if EJ's going to call in, I don't know for sure, but...
We don't know, we tried.
We tried, yeah, because we want to talk with him about the homegrown pork.
Lab-grown bacon.
That's right, bacon, which I thought was great. You know, what's his name? Jim Gaffigan or whatever his name is, always has his...
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, whatever has his
name. He does the greatest bacon skit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you take little pieces of bacon and you sprinkle it on bacon, you can probably go back in time.
Yeah, I tell you, he's got it right. But I didn't want to, just while we're here, before we get to light notes, I want to talk about one thing that I don't know if you're up on this, counselor, is the honest services doctrine.
A little bit up on that.
The reason I mention it is because it, apparently
it's not honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that it's we try and bring people up legally, and this apparently is one of those catch-all nets that it can get a lot of people. There was a fellow recently that's been all over the internet and TV and everything promoting his book called Three Felonies a Day. I think we might have mentioned it before. Anyway, basically he says you get up, you make a phone call, this, that, and the other, you know, you're over state lines, it's, you know, fraud, and you don't have to do hardly anything.
Everybody's committing felonies. All you got to do is Martha Stewart is a convicted felon.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, if Martha Stewart, it can happen to Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
It can happen to you.
That's right. Anyway, and he goes through about how you can, basically the most innocuous little things, it turns out these days, are felons. So apparently this honest services doctrine is one of those things that people, there's no harm, you know, no harm, no foul, but apparently the prosecutors have decided, oh, there's a foul, all right. And in plain words, the law presumes a public official owes the public a duty to honest services. When the official fails and does so using the mail or telephones, or perhaps an email or BlackBerry, while concealing a financial interest, it becomes a crime. Now, of course, if the financial interest doesn't cost anybody, up until fairly recently, if it didn't cost anybody, the Supreme Court was throwing them out saying, well, you know, no harm, no foul. Well, Congress walked in there and said, and they call this, the change came about in 1988. When Congress specifically rewrote the mail and wire fraud laws to include schemes designed to, quote, deprive another of the intangible right of honest services, close quote. And this decision came after the U.S. Supreme Court had overruled lower courts and tossed out corruption charges against Kentucky officials, saying those laws did not prohibit schemes to defraud citizens of the intangible right to an honest government. So, I was kind of curious, what is this? They're suing now, they're putting people in jail for intangibles.
Well, no, it sounds like they're trying to make a distinction there. Say it again?
Intangible right to honest services.
Okay.
Intangible right, and
now they've attached that to the pecuniary gain.
Right.
Okay, so now you have to have both some sort of dishonesty and some sort of pecuniary gain.
Oh.
Right, and that's what, it sounds like they're saying, you know, you don't need any pecuniary gain. These are intangible things.
Right.
But no, they're just saying that there is a duty of fairness, and that's intangible. It's something that, you know, it's not, you can't touch it or feel it, but it's out there.
That's intangible.
And it's in the law. I mean, everywhere there's a duty of good faith and fair dealing in the law.
Well, the reason I brought this up was because, as we know in the past, as the Net Titans, you find zealous prosecutors, you know, going after everybody.
Right.
And apparently the people that are being tossed in jail these days are, you know, now some of them are crooks, you know, some of them have
done. Finish your sentence. You were going to say the officials themselves, right?
Right.
Yeah, and it's you're right. The snake is eating its own tail at this point. I mean, and that's what's happening because, I mean, you're right. And that's why I'm not so worried about this kind of particular thing, because it's directed at the officials. If this was a law that was directed at the public, I would be freaking out because it's a further expansion of just the fraud statutes in general. You know, if you think closely about a fraud statute, all fraud is really is just another form of stealing. I mean, it's just stealing. And you think about what stealing is. I mean, you take something from somebody, that's theft. Okay, well, what's embezzlement then? Well, I mean, it's gonna, like, you take it in a special way. You know? You have custodianship over it, and then you take it or something.
Well, fraud is like you lie to somebody.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so this is just an expansion.
You get it under false pretenses.
Exactly. And this is just an expansion of that, and it just covers the public officials. You know, like I said, I'm not too worried about it. It is a broader net. It does belie the prosecutor's strategies these days to use anything as some sort of criminal intent. But I applaud the judges for throwing out the earlier version that's not attached to any pecuniary gain. Because, I mean, after all, like they've pointed out in this article here, it looks like if somebody, like an employee, called in sick and went to a ball game,
right,
there's your fraud and there's your pecuniary gain.
Right.
You're guilty.
You're guilty, right.
You're guilty of a crime.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, hey.
Boy, you know, at what point do you draw the line? I mean, you got paid for the day and you're out at a ball game.
Right.
And so that's what my point is,
here's the question you have to ask yourself. You know, if you had an employee
in other words,
right,
they called in sick and went to the ball game.
They'd get fired, maybe.
Yeah.
But they're not getting charged.
Nobody's going to jail.
Exactly.
Right.
And this is, like you said, this is. I noticed this statute was strongly supported by Fitzpatrick. Right?
Isn't
that right?
Yep.
He's one of the hideous prosecutor that just would prosecute a freaking walnut if he could.
Yeah, right. His grandmother, no problem.
No problem,
Granny.
Grandma.
Yeah, you're it. You're
shouldn't
going
have
down.
Broke the damn law.
You're going down.
We arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law.
Exactly. That's Fitzpatrick.
Well, he comes from his parents are prosecutors and then his grandparents are prosecutors on both sides. And,
yeah. Either that or his parents were criminals. And
right. You're either with me or again me.
That's right. The way federal prosecutors see it.
When he got done with it.
Let me just finish up here. The way federal prosecutors see it, public officials have a duty to make decisions in the best interest of the people who elect them. When they make decisions based on personal interests, they are defrauding the public. Well, good luck.
How are you going to measure that? Well, wasn't the best interest. I say the other interest was the best interest.
I mean, well, the point is that everybody, whether you like it or not, I don't care. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa. Every decision you make is in your own interest.
Right. Well,
it's always for number one. I don't care. You know, you could sit there and say it's for the public interest, but let's face it, it's to stay elected, it's to collect your salary, it's to get the high fives from the people that you give money to.
But see the real bleeding heart liberals aren't going to buy that argument. They're going to say that people can act altruistically. They're going to say people can act outside of their own interest.
Yeah, right.
And my thought to that as well, that they're still acting, they're still doing what they want to do.
Right, they have a choice.
Right, exactly. And so they may be saying they're doing it for somebody else, but they're doing it for themselves, for somebody else.
Right, exactly.
And I mean,
there is no way around. I mean, it's human nature. Okay, you can't. And actually, Ayn Rand wrote a little essay on altruism and what a disaster it was. And in fact, if it was really true, if there was such a thing as honest to goodness, really real altruism, where you put the benefit of others above your own, the species would be extinct. I mean, because you.
I'd like to read it. Which one is that one?
It's called. I think it's called On Altruism or something. I'll print it off for you. Yeah. Okay. I mean, she basically.
I mean, she rocks. I've read a few of her things. Yeah, I didn't remember that one.
You know, again,
she's good. She's very good.
Exactly.
That's right. So anyway, I was just. I wanted to bring that up because when I was reading this thing, I thought, gosh, then the Supreme Court's going to take this up on December 8th. They're going to have an argument about this. Apparently, there's a big deal. The nation's most potent law against public corruption is in danger of being scaled back or struck down.
Well, like I said, when they expand it to include private employers and private employees,
yeah,
then I'll be freaking out.
Well, I love this also, as I always said, the government's overhead and everything. And here's this Melanie Sloan person. She's afraid of something, but she's the executive director of the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And I thought
she's afraid of something.
Well, I mean, but I'm
it
saying
it says right here she's afraid of something.
Well, I'm not going to go through it. But I mean, I love this when I see people that are the executive director of this. I mean, how does she get paid? You know, she produces nothing. Okay, her job is executive director of the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
That means she tells some people where to go, hold signs and stuff.
I guess, you know, at
she. I bet you she commands people who do reports. You know?
Again, but she gets paid for it. I mean,
sure,
you know.
Sure. They produce reports on the behavior of the ethical behavior or unethical behavior of people in Washington.
Oh, boy. Target rich.
Target rich.
Target rich environment there, boy.
They could force us to commit wanton acts of carnality.
Exactly.
I'm in for that. Okay, well, that's all I have for the serious stuff. You want to move on to light notes for this?
Light notes!
All right.
Play Crazy Frog. We never do light notes music.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we should.
That's true.
Well, play the Death March or something.
Yeah,
you know,
the Death March.
Yeah, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, no, I got that
it's
one.
Not very light.
But
oh,
actually,
I'm sorry, that's not a light note. Okay.
What is this?
There you go. Now Jack's really going to be pissed off.
He missed his shit. Light notes on the Jimmy Dones.
I want to ask, this is another little legal question here. Citation for gesture costs Pittsburgh. I don't know if you saw this. The city of Pittsburgh has agreed to pay $50,000 to a man after being issued a disorderly conduct citation for gesturing offensively at a police officer.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit. We hit on it. Remember, we recommended everybody go out and flick off our listeners there.
Well, we couldn't.
They're not listeners. The police.
Well, the thing about it is, I'm wondering, because this is November 25th, and this is after our last podcast. We must not have talked about.
Oh, they might. It must have been a new.
It's
case.
It's a new case.
Okay. Anyway, so Philadelphia Supreme Court has consistently found such citations unlawful on free speech grounds. So anyway, apparently they threw it out. They took it to court.
Yeah.
And they said,
this is like,
if
you're a real opportunistic libertarian. And you're the kind of libertarian that likes to change a bus schedule by, like, walking out in front of a bus?
Yeah.
then what you want to do?
You change it momentarily, anyway.
change.
Late for the next one.
Or at least a little out of its way.
Yeah.
What you do is, here's an opportunity. You can make some money. And what you do is just go out there and start flicking off the cops.
Okay, now let me.
One of them's going to bust you for it.
Okay, but let me tell you, the beauty of it is this, counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love this.
Don't call me to sue.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
Of the $50,000 settlement, he will get $10,000. The rest goes to his lawyers.
Woohoo!
There you go, yeah! And, of course, he's going to take the $10,000 and go to law school. Okay, good. I thought that was great. Let's see, one other thing before we get to the bacon. This was a letter to the editor, or this is an editorial in our local paper. Florida hands out so many concealed. This is what I love about these editorials when they go. Florida hands out so many concealed handgun permits that the state bureaucracy can't keep up with the demand. So it should surprise no one that Florida leads the nation in the number of killings committed by holders of concealed handgun permits. According to a study by two gun control advocacy groups, now you know what they're going to come up with, right? The violence, this is the
two
violence.
Independent studies.
Here's the, yeah. Right. The Violence Policy Center and the Freedom Alliance, Freedom States Alliance.
Well, they're independent from each other.
Right, that's right. 77 people and 8 law enforcement officers have been killed nationwide over 2.5 years by concealed weapons license holders.
Ooh, now there's a scientific sample size.
There's, right, okay. 77 people, 2.5 years. In Florida, 14 people, including 2 police officers, have died
at the
hands of license holders. They don't tell you anything about them because you don't know if they deserved it. if they were in uniform.
How about if they had a gun? You know? I mean, you don't even know if they had their gun.
There's nothing. That's right. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, so the other thing I like about, 14.
In 2.5 years.
Right. I mean, that's like the number that could die if the bus goes off with the cops in it,
The cop field trip to the
shooting range goes over the cliff and 14 die. And then the driver had a concealed weapons permit. So he was responsible for killing.
Right, says Scott Vogel of the Freedom States Alliance. Florida's failed system of allowing the carrying of a hidden and loaded handguns in public weakens public safety and threatens police. No other state comes close to the numbers of concealed handgun permit holders involved in lethal shootings. I mean, you don't have to do much of a statistical analysis to realize that this is not even a drop in the bucket. No. I mean, it's unbelievable. And to think that they're all bent out of shape. I mean, I'm saying, when you realize we have 320 million people in the United States, The normal death rate is like, I don't know, what is it?
This is just a reporter.
7, 8, 10 million people or something like that die from various causes. Millions, okay? And here, 77 people. Now, of course, including 8 law enforcement officers, that means that 69 of them might have been the most heinous criminals in the world.
Right.
That's first.
Well, it was the drug dealer, the other guy they were shooting in the drug deal gone bad.
Right. Right. And that's right. And he shot back and got a policeman.
Right.
And he happened to have a concealed gun permit.
Right. And, of course, the way they do causation in law is, let's say the one guy was shooting at the bad guy, and the bad guy shot the cop. Well, the bad guy, then it's still attributed to the first person, because the first person was breaking the rule by violating his concealed weapons permit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the causation is still attributed to him. And so,
I mean, I just sit there and I think somebody wasted all that ink on this.
Well, this was a gun. This was a gun hating, statistically ignorant reporter who loved the news that Florida's death rate was the highest.
But I mean, I love this.
I love it when they compare states' rates as though. You know, I mean, like, one of them's going to be the lowest, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean,
well, it's like this, it's, you know, the old saying, you realize that half the people in the United States are below average in intelligence.
Yeah.
I mean, just like that. Yeah. So, okay. The Violence Policy Center is one of them, and the Freedom States Alliance. It'd be interesting to look up their 501c3 business and see what the story there, you know, how they get paid. Okay, I'm moving on now. Or do you have anything else that you want to interject here before we get to the bacon?
No, I mean, I got more things. I was going to hold off on the bacon
in case EJ calls in. Yeah, okay. Well, what was the next thing?
I just thought this was amazing, but there was actually, I thought something, well, I guess personally kind of funny about it. The Lowe's grills, you see they're catching fire, and the ones sold at Lowe's, they were made in China.
They were catching, a grill catching fire?
Yeah, this is like a gas grill. They recalled 663,000 grills.
Holy smokes.
You know.
There's fire in a grill.
You'd think. Apparently like it's on the outside, too.
Oh, okay. Some plastic piece or the handle or something.
Well, what it was, there was
I guess they didn't want fire one up before they sent them out.
Basically, Lowe's received 40 reports of fires from deteriorating burners and 23 reports of the lids catching fire. And 22 people were injured. Most suffering burns to the hands, arms, or face.
Okay.
And the grills are stainless steel and painted black or gray. And all the recalled grills will need new burners. Some will need new lids. And those who have the grills are urged to order replacement parts.
I love it. Free market work, man.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Bring them back.
You think about it. They recalled 633,000 grills.
That cost a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. The grills were sold from September 2005 through May 2009 between $200 and $550. That's 4 years.
They're accidentally made by a Chinese firework factory.
Exactly. But anyway, I sent this out to some people. And then Tio Twaki Roast Bag goes, son of a bitch, that's the grill I have. He lives up kind of north. I said, well, that's how you're going to stay warm, I guess.
Light this, yourself.
Burn the grill.
Burn the grill, exactly. Yeah. There's not a problem with that.
It's a burnable, disposable grill.
It's like edible panties or something. Right. I don't know. Okay, so anyway, but the cost of this isn't going to put anybody out of business, I guess. Like the 20-ton, million-ton meat.
No, it's a voluntary recall, too.
Yeah, voluntary, right? You can bet on that.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's a big recall, but like you said, is it going to put anybody out of business? I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a little rebate. It's more than a half a million grills, but and not everybody will probably call and get their stuff replaced because not everybody saw the warning sign. Not everybody said
only
in there.
Only a very small
nothing.
People are going to do that. So, but you know, I'd you know if the, if
like
it
you're
going to
load up your grill, you're going to take all the charcoal out of your grill. You know,
well, what we should do is since the grills were made in China, we just sue the Chinese.
Get some of our money back.
Get some of our money back, yeah.
Well, the thing, of course, what you do
fraud.
Is you pop that baby on Craigslist, you're done.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
So anyway, the smart will survive. Let's see, did you see that Barbie is coming in a burka?
Yes, I saw that. I mean, what's up with that? Well, I figured that, who knows?
Just in time for Christmas?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Don't they have a Ramadan or something, or what do they have?
Right. I'm just saying something.
What's Christmas all about? The Barbie and a burka. Well, of course you don't know if it's actually Barbie under there or not.
That's true.
Could be Ken, for all we know, in disguise, trying to get away.
Well, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It could be a great
Osama.
Trick. Osama bin Ken.
See, and it's a trap. See, because the first person who reports it. Then we get him for looking at the girl.
Ah! There you go. You know, that's right.
Everybody who confirms that, you know,
that it's really Ken.
Their Barbie
anatomically correct to Ken. Yeah, that's right. You lift up the burqa, kaboom.
they can get you on some kind of child pornography.
Yeah, child pornography, right? That's right. It'll snap a picture of you. you lift this up in here.
There's a
and
little
you see
lens stuck
flash,
in there.
You know, right. and then a little Wi-Fi.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That beeps it up with the GPS coordinates.
Beep, 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 beep.
That's it.
So
that's perfect.
Yeah, no, that's why we have Barbie.
Another fine American product we can market to
that's
the
right,
Middle
made
East.
In China. Okay. Another fine American product. Barbie made in China. That's right.
Market
it's
the
a Barbie.
Yeah.
There was apparently in Cape Town, South Africa. They're having some trouble with some baboons. The cheeky primates have learned how to open car doors and jump through windows in pursuit of tasty sandwiches and snacks. City officials are battling to control the increasingly aggressive troops, monkey troops, and there's a fear that the problem will only worsen with the influx of visitors to Cape Town during the World Cup next year.
Oh, wow.
So, on Tuesday, a troop of 29 baboons raided four cars outside Simonstown, a small coastal neighborhood. A baboon dubbed Fred, the leader of the group, opened unlocked car doors and jumped through windows to search for food. He ransacked a bag in the back seat of a red car as a couple panicked about their passports. And in fact, a friend of mine did have her passport taken by a monkey, and it was in Bali. And she finally got it back, but I mean, like the monkey climbed a tree with it, and the monkey was just not giving it back. And there was there they were there all day trying to get the monkey to come back down.
Then why didn't they call the monkey's mama or something to get it, or you know?
Yeah, I would have called the old.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it, exactly.
You know, well, she's just one of those people that wouldn't actually shoot a monkey. You know?
Well, you know that, but it does bring up something that they could do. Obviously, is to put those exploding dye packs in some food. So that when the monkeys go in there, you know, kaboom, they would teach him. Fred would learn pretty quickly once he's covered down with purple ink.
Yeah.
That's true. In other words, that you'd have a furry felon.
Yes. A purple furry felon.
A fuzzy furry felon. So if you go to Cape Town and you want a baboon.
Block your car.
Yeah, exactly. Or whatever.
If you want to keep your stuff.
Keep your stuff.
Lock your car. Yeah. That's right. Of course, they'll learn how to pick that lock, too, you know, next, I tell you.
They're smart.
They just bash through the window.
Yeah,
man.
Sure.
Well, somebody said it's as soon as the day that the apes learn to make fire, we'll wipe them all out.
Well, you know, speaking of bashing through windows, what about the Tiger Woods thing?
Oh yeah, they're coming after him. Well, I just read today that they're citing him with careless driving.
Okay, well, so and
yeah, that's it.
Nothing. That's a ticket.
Nothing. Yeah. It's a ticket. $163.
Oh yeah, he's going to worry about
that. Yeah, it was. Well, I was watching some late night show. Yeah, I think actually it was Conan.
No, but when
his airbags went on, he was cushioned by bags of money.
Well, he's all over YouTube, but I mean, the thing about it is they said that apparently both the rear windows of this thing were smashed out with a golf club.
Well, that was his wife because she was trying to, quote unquote, get him out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay, think about it for a second. Okay, here's the guy, he's down at the end of the driveway, done something, and suddenly, you know, she comes, she has the presence of mind to grab up the 3-wood and run out the door and smash the rear windows of the... I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm thinking that those windows were smashed a little ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that that was one of the reasons...
Exit wounds.
Exit wounds.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm thinking maybe there was a little... before he actually hit the fire hydrant.
Well, they'd have some glass fragments up there or something.
At the house.
At the house.
Yeah. Nobody ever got up there,
yeah,
hardly.
No. Like, I bet you they haven't got in there to search.
No,
anything.
And let me tell you, it'd be Sweep City first
oh,
thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question it'd
yeah,
be.
Yeah, if it was the Jimmy Doan house, they'd be in here with dogs and everything.
No.
There'd be some.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, there'd be some fresh Chinese meat on the table.
I was talking about me standing out there.
Oh.
Making him show us the warrant.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Well, we have that on the...
Yeah, on the doormat.
We have that on the doormat. So, you know, wipe your feet on this. No, but I mean, I'm thinking it was so funny because the original thing was that he'd been injured, taken to the hospital, you know, oh my God, he's, you know, dead. And then, you know, a couple of facial bruises, you know, a couple of fingernail scratches and things like that. And you're thinking, well, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe something.
It's looking a lot more like a domestic dispute.
Domestic item. And of course, I read someplace where the Florida Highway Patrol, they're thinking about, you know, they wanted a search warrant for his medical records to find out what happened in the hospital. I'm thinking, shut up.
Oh, no, man. I'm telling you, DUI, man, they're all over it.
Well, they said no. They claimed that
alcohol... They're lucky, man. You know why? They got lucky. Because those Windermere cops right there know everybody there. And they're like, oh, Mr. Woods. They had their police report right there. They went ahead and checked off no alcohol.
Right.
He had no alcohol in the car. You know, I mean, what he probably had was apparently now they're turning over some prescription meds and stuff,
yeah,
which he may have taken. But, I mean, and I guess he drove off the road and smashed into something.
Well, it was a fire hydrant and a tree.
Yeah. So
But they said, you know, it was below 33 miles an hour because the airbag didn't deploy.
What? Didn't deploy, really?
No, it didn't deploy. And so they said that apparently the Escalade, you know, which is like a tank, for God's sakes, you know. And so here he is, you know, in this tank, runs over, hits a tree, no airbag deploys, so it's like 20 miles an hour or whatever it is.
Must have been less than that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the airbag is deployed
low. They said in this particular vehicle, they deploy at 33 miles an hour.
Really?
That's what they said.
That's shocking.
Well, that's what they said. Look it up on the Google.
All right, that's
fine.
I'll do that.
So anyway.
I hate it when the airbag is deployed. It's like it totals your car.
Yeah.
I mean, they're $8,000 to put it in a piece, you know. I mean,
right.
You got
side and
top and back, away. You just paid for the whole car.
Yeah, and I got the impression that a blind man could hit your bumper with a white cane.
Yeah,
and it
they
would
used to have a viral video. They used to have a viral video of that.
Yeah,
where the guy was sitting at the stop sign and the woman walked by and whacked the car.
Well, that was a fake, though.
Probably.
Yeah, that was a joke.
What's not fake is that guy who puts those train horns in his car, and actually Damien down in Australia, he's just bought one of those extreme horns from the guy, and he hasn't put it in his truck yet, but you know, there's a bunch of videos of when this guy goes,
yeah,
they're like off a diesel locomotive
right,
or something, you know, 10 million decibels,
right,
and just scares the living poop
well,
out
even
of
a
people.
Truck, I think it's illegal to put a truck horn on a car.
Yeah, well, you know, the people do it, whether it's legal or not, you know, who knows?
Well, everything's illegal.
Legal?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
We'll make it legal,
that's right.
All right, what else?
How about this? Is this legal? Parents pull child's tooth with an RC car.
Well, how did that ever get on the...
I don't know.
Who would ever put that on YouTube? How would anybody know?
I don't know. They got this sweet little girl, it looks like. Hopefully a girl. Otherwise, really gay-looking kid. Healthcare reform might have become just another political ploy to earn votes come election day, or maybe causing some parents to resort to medieval-style Middle Ages tactics.
It's not medieval at all.
No, I know.
And they didn't have remote cars in medieval times.
That's true.
They used a door.
Right, or a horse.
Or horse, that's right.
Yeah, horse.
Rope him up, that's right.
But anyway, yeah, they had a... These parents were... pulling their teeth, the child's teeth, the Radio Shack way, tying one end of a string around the tooth, the other end of the remote control car, setting it barreling toward a makeshift ramp. They're really gonna get it. So anyway, they said,
abuse.
Yeah, child protective services might be able to recommend a more suitable dental professional. That's what they say in the article.
Really?
I don't think
child protective services.
Yeah, there you go.
A baby tooth. Give me a break. All right. Well, next, GDA is probably not going to call, so we're going to have to cover this the bacon industry thing.
Yeah, that's the last thing I got, really.
Okay, well, this is great. Scientists in the Netherlands have created a pig in a test tube. Debate has already started on whether it will save the world or just throw vegetarians into a quandary. In the meantime, the researchers may be in line for a celebratory feast. This could be the new front runners up, and I didn't realize, the $1 million prize offered by PETA. And offered $1 million if you can come up with a way to not hurt animals and eat meat or something like that. And this is, it's...
What are you talking about, Jimmy? When you say in a test tube...
What they did is they took, here's what they did. Let's just see here. The research team funded... I love this. The research team funded by a major sausage maker and the Dutch government in Holland used cells from a live pig to grow pork muscle tissue in a petri dish. After extracting cells called myoblasts from the muscle of a live pig, the scientists then incubated the myoblasts in nutrient solution, which allowed the cells to multiply and create muscle. Apparently, they've grown a fairly good substantial...
And then they're going to kill all those cells?
I guess they're talking about ending world hunger, and you could take meat from one animal and create the volume of meat previously provided by 1 million animals, he told the media.
Really?
Making meat in a laboratory instead of a feedlot could also reduce climate change by eliminating billions of tons of methane and other greenhouse gases emitted each year by farm animals across the globe. Of course, all these potential boons depend on whether or not consumers think the man-made meat is tasty enough to eat. And even scientists had to admit to reporters they don't know if their creation is flavorsome because laboratory regulations forbid them from tasting anything they create. I'm thinking, how long would that last?
But we can serve it.
Yeah, we can. We need to find ways of by training and stretching and so forth. But we'll get there. We're going to reduce animal suffering. Good for the environment. And it feels and tastes like meat. People will buy it. Of course, they got to get it past the FDA and the USDA and so forth. Labeling issues. You know, what kind of a label would you have on this? The question of consumer demand would be the driving factor. On that end, greater marketing savvy would help first order business come up with a better label than in vitro meat. And so anyway, the PETA people also is doing their part. They're the ones that offered the $1 million to anyone who can come up with a way to produce large quantities of test tube spawned beef at competitive prices by 2012. And notice 2012 here. They want to
covering their ass.
Yeah, covering their ass. That's right. Today, pig can foie gras be far behind. So I'm thinking this is great stuff if you can.
Cool, man. I'm down with the artificial pig.
In vitro muscle mess something.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, what a great advancement.
I mean, like I said, it all comes
from someplace. Of course, the thing is, you know what, they feed pigs now.
Right.
And then, of course, they're going to feed this nutrient-rich whatever. What the hell are they going to put in there? A little fluoride
Soylent
for your
green.
Teeth? Soylent Green is good, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the start. And, of course, the question you have to ask yourself is, pig, why not, you know, whale, camel?
We could
whales, save the whales?
Obviously, if they can do pig, they can do pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some.
Well, eventually they certainly will be able to.
But I mean,
like you said, cells can grow, and you know
they must have done pig for a particular reason.
They labeled pig in a petri dish.
Petri, I mean, I wonder if they're going to have to make like little pig muscles and have to like electroshock them to exercise them a little bit and get them into shape or something.
So they work off the fat.
Well, you know, like some people are going to like be concerned about that. Like it's more like a veal type thing than
cow
thing.
Right.
So have to exercise. So you like walk into some big lab and you'll see all these little muscles just, big muscles just contracting and stuff, little weights on
just
them and stuff.
Thigh.
Pumping this food up for you, you know?
So it'd be Kobe pig or what is this? I mean, instead of Kobe beef?
I'd imagine.
Like
yeah. No, I'm in for that. But it'll be like...
I don't know what the cells people are going to do.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, if you could get bacon out of it, then who cares?
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, you can get rid of all that soy bacon and get the real bacon bits made in vitro. Because you can put bacon on anything and have it taste better.
Exactly.
I'm up for that.
Well, we are coming up on the Christmas season, actually. I didn't notice that there's two types of Santa Claus that you can find in a mall. There's the regular old drunken Dan Aykroyd kind of from Trading Places.
The Billy Bob Thornton one also, Mean Santa.
Right. But they also have a thing called RBSs. Those are real bearded Santas. And apparently, if you're a real bearded Santa or you look like one...
Your beard gets grabbed a bunch.
You scream a lot. Well, I was reading this article on, you know, nightmares from Confessions of a Mall Santa. That's what it was. But apparently the RBSs can make over $20,000 for a 6-week stint.
You're kidding.
Wow. That's what they say.
That'd be worth growing the beard, man.
I'm about to say, you know, I mean, even if you really glued something on there really well and they didn't know, I mean, I don't know.
That's fraud.
Yeah, exactly. See? Felony. There's a group called Santa-America.org, and they're nonprofit, right? But of course, this means that they have profit. They're just doing it a different way.
They decided. That's right.
So apparently, there's some other schools that you can go to learn how to be a Santa. I didn't actually highlight them here. Maybe I'll put another link to the article. Oh, Santa University. I don't know. I'll read through it. I didn't actually mark all of it. But anyway.
Well, I used to call it acting school.
Well, you know, how much acting do you have to do to be a Santa? You sit there and say, what do you want, little boy or little girl? Ho, ho, ho. That's it.
That laugh.
Well, I'm big. You know, that's...
Woo! Oh.
I got one joke here.
Okay.
Okay, this is an Irishman. He was terribly overweight, so his doctor put him on a diet. He goes, I want you to eat regularly for 2 days, then skip a day, and repeat this procedure for 2 weeks. The next time I see you, you should have it lost at least 5 pounds. So the Irishman returns. He was shocked. Oh, he shocked the doctor by having lost nearly 60 pounds. Why, that's amazing, the doctor said. Did you follow my instructions? The Irishman nodded. I'll tell you the truth, though. By Jesus, I thought I was going to drop dead on that third day. From the hunger, you mean? Asked the doctor. No, from the fucking skipping.
From the skipping.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. Okay, that's a clean one except for the fucking part. Which we can get by with that. It's a foreign word.
Alrighty, well, by the way, we do have an Amazon link on our on our homepage.
And we did actually, surprisingly, even though this is technically, even though it's the first, this is like the third podcast in a very short time, and our numbers are dropping on the web stat. So I don't know, we'll have to like not do any more podcasts, I guess, to get our numbers back up again.
Driving them away.
Well, we did really good last month.
We did all right.
It looks like a healthy stock company. I mean, it goes up a little bit, it goes down a little bit, it goes up a lot more, then it goes down a little bit, it goes up, but it's climbing.
Don't forget, buy gold.
Buy gold. Yeah, well, buy all of your Christmas presents.
Oh, that's right.
Through our
big
link.
Big screen TVs on sale at Amazon.
You know,
cyber, whatever it is. Buy your big screen TVs.
Books, all those books we talked about, everything on our reading list. Get all that stuff.
I did send, by the way, I did send some books to Counselor.
Counselor Bart?
Yeah, Counselor Bart. He requested a copy of Parkinson's Law. He said he couldn't find it.
Really?
So I sent him a free copy that I had here laying around.
That's cool.
Yeah, he'll like that. Also sent him a copy of The Law by Frederick Bastiat. And
I like copies of the chicks he sends us.
Yeah, no, that too. Yeah, no, we save those. Those are my, unfortunately, I did buy another terabyte drive, so we're in a pretty...
another terabyte
drive. Yeah, I filled up the first one pretty much.
I think, is there any porn on your computer? I certainly hope so.
Yeah, right.
But well, hopefully we'll see you guys again. But yeah, make sure that if you want to buy anything, go to jimmydoan.com. Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, that's right. And the little store's on the first page, right? And then the books are on the second page.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, but you can still go to the, if you go through that main link, then anything you buy is, like, good for us. But all the links do go to our little,
Do the search right there, too.
You can search.
Put in a search word, and it'll come up with a whole bunch of stuff.
It's pretty slick. It kind of stands at us right at the top. Have a great holidays. Well, I'm sure we'll have another show here pretty soon.
Yeah.
All right. So JimmyDoan.com. JimmyDoan.com.
See ya. And bye. Thanks to the Hanger Dogs.
Hey, Hanger Dogs.
That's
woo!
Right.
Do another show.
Yep.
See ya. This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. That was part 3 of our December 1st, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show. If you need the other parts, go to iTunes, your favorite podcast directory, or go to JimmyDoan.com.
Mojo, well, I got the rule later, it's working on you, baby. mojo away. Yaddy-oh, yeah. Yaddy-oh.